Hey everyone, welcome to the very first episode of the Backlogger Game Club podcast. Each month we vote on a selection of games, and we play through the winners decided by the Backloggery.com community. Some of us might be playing the game for the first time, some might not have liked it and are giving it another chance, or some of us might be looking for a reason to go back to it. I'm joined by three members of the Backloggery community, Nye255, RinkyDink, and Backloggery.com's own Triforce. The game that was selected for November 2012 was Metal Gear Solid 2 Sons of Liberty. First released in 2001, Hideo Kojima's Metal Gear Solid 2 from Konami was one of the most anticipated releases of all time. What most people remember about Metal Gear Solid 2 is what many consider to be the greatest deception in video game history. Some went in expecting a sequel following the hero Solid Snake, but instead found you playing as a brand new character after the first hour. What's even crazier is that nobody had any clue until the game was released. It was a total 100% kept secret. What's everyone's like experience with the game and the series like previous to this?
I was trying to think this through. This was at least the fourth time I've played it.
Really?
Probably the fifth. And it was the first time I played the HD version. I'd been looking for an excuse to play the HD version.
Okay. But did you play it right when it came out?
I didn't get it at release, but it was really close. If I remember right, I think it came out before Final Fantasy X, or I might be wrong on that. Maybe it came out after Final Fantasy X. I mean, they were like within a month of each other.
Yeah. I think that.
But because I remember how they released really close. I want to say that I probably played it after the new year, though. And that was, what, 2001 they released, I think?
Yeah.
So it was probably like early 2002, but I can't say for sure. It's possible I played it in 2001. I knew about the Raiden thing before playing it, though. A friend got the game at release, and you know, so I had heard a couple of minor things, but nothing huge aside from that. I mean, there's no way that after it came out you wouldn't hear about it.
Yeah, I literally just played through it the first time. It was one of my last impulse purchases, the Essentials Collection, Metal Gear Solid 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm. Like the box set, so, right?
Yeah, I just started playing through it for this month's last month's game club. After just finishing the first Metal Gear Solid, my very first game was Twin Snakes, which was on a rental, and of course I was struggling just to get through that on very easy. But with a little more experience, I was able to. I felt.
It plays pretty much exactly like Twin Snakes, which actually came out like a year or two after, I think.
It felt like familiar territory because Twin Snakes was like Metal Gear Solid 1 with the Metal Gear Solid 2 engine, right?
Yeah, definitely.
More or less.
My first time through PS2, I played a little bit of the original Metal Gear on the PlayStation 1, but my brother was always more into it than I was. I played through Twin Snakes and quite enjoyed that, actually. But, yeah, this was my first time back to the series. I was just interested to see what the Vita version of the HD was like, and it plays pretty nicely. But.
How does it handle the touchscreen? Like, what does it use the touchscreen to do?
So the touchscreen's basically mostly for your item selection. So you've got the two left and right wheels on the touchscreen. To cycle through your items, and as far as I could work out, there's no button because there's not enough trigger buttons to bring up the item selection. So
right.
They just swapped it out for touchscreen, which works pretty well.
That's interesting. So I didn't realize you played it on the Vita. So we've got a range of systems that we've just played it on.
Yeah, definitely. I actually played it when it first came out, like the day that it came out. So the whole Raiden thing was completely, nobody knew about it, and I was in it when it happened.
So it was completely covered up until
completely covered up. At the leading up to it, for the like the year and a half of trailers that they were showing, they swapped out the ride model with Snake. So all of the situations where you play as Raiden, that they swapped, like, so it's Snake, and nobody knew, and it was
wow,
and it was. I, needless to say, this is my first time playing it since I played through the entire game in one sitting that night. I was so excited about it. I worked retail at the time at a electronics boutique, and I've never been so hyped for a game. And I think that it was probably at the time the game that, like, I realized that I could be really let down by games. It was I had never been so hyped for something in my life, probably. And I was completely disappointed, to say the least.
Just because of the whole main character swap or the gameplay?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, with my experience with the PlayStation 1 version of Metal Gear Solid, I absolutely loved it. I played the first Metal Gear on the NES. But at the time, I loved Metal Gear Solid 1 so much. And the first, the reveal trailer for 2 was, even before the PS2 was even out. It was kind of, they showed a trailer, the first trailer ever at, the E3 of that year. It might have been, it had to have been, 99. I was, the music, and it was just, perfect. It was perfect. And I would, a guy I worked with was really into it, too, so we were getting so excited. And I first played the demo so many times. That came with Zone of the Enders. And then that first hour and a half passed. And I swear, playing through it the entire night, I was saying, I'm going to start playing as Snake anytime now. Anytime now. I'm going to go back to being Snake.
Bobby, that was one sitting deal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was a smoker at the time, and I came home from class, started playing immediately, and I opened a pack of cigarettes, and I played all night, smoked an entire pack of cigarettes, and I finished the game an hour before I had to be at class the next morning. And, as I progressed through the night, I think I just got more and more disappointed. And this was the first time playing it since then, and going in with the knowledge, I think, of future games,
mm-hmm.
made it a lot better mm-hmm. for me. And knowing that I was going to be playing as Raiden, and also kind of knowing the role that Raiden would later play in the series,
yeah,
I think made it a lot better.
Yeah, they very much. I mean, it's kind of obvious, I think, how they realized, what the opinion of Raiden was in Metal Gear Solid 2, and they, went above and beyond redeeming him in 4, I feel,
Yeah.
They, made him so awesome that now we're getting a spinoff that's just about him, and people are excited about it.
They knew they had to. They knew they had to do something. It's, it doesn't really change the fact that he's still kind of awful in this game.
And by the way, Snake, we're changing your code name for all following communication.
What's wrong with Snake?
Just a precaution. You are now designated Raiden. All right, Raiden. You've already covered infiltration in VR training.
I've completed 300 missions in VR. I feel like some kind of legendary mercenary.
Okay, we'll skip that part.
All right.
Make sure nobody sees you.
It still amazes me, how good the intro is. That's the number one thing that I always think about is, how good the music
and
opening
yeah.
is.
They've got that one shot of Raiden at the very end of
it. Yeah. It's kind of all right,
We're just gonna you'll
like,
get
who
it
is
later.
This guy, like some guy that I'll, you know, some random character that I'll meet in the game.
It's probably the best intro of a game. Like
it's up there. That music, man.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it just kills me that they never could they never used it again after this game.
It was very briefly, yeah, in the end of 3.
It's like the acoustic version of it. Ben, I know that you didn't really like it that much. You said you couldn't really stand the gameplay.
Yeah, more or less. It's okay. It's not the gameplay really that I can't get on with. It's the not gameplay that I can't get on with. I don't mind the gameplay. It's reasonably fun. As I said, I kind of enjoyed Twin Snakes, although I must say at the time that was partly because, as far as I remember, the cutscenes in Twin Snakes were directed by the guy who did Versus.
Yeah.
I remember, really. But yeah, so I was kind of interested to see what he did with the FMVs and stuff. But yeah, it's the long cutscenes that get me. I think around the end of the snake section, yeah, the end video for that almost destroyed my will to come back to the game.
It wasn't even Raiden that got you down. It was before even then, just the length of the cinematics.
I almost didn't mind the length of the cinematics because it gave me a nice breather because of how bad I am at stealth in general. It's like, all right, I got to sneak past this one guy. Am I going to be able to do it? Okay, I pulled it off. I need a 20-minute breather now.
It depends on what kind of game I'm playing, you know? And if I'm playing Mario, I'm not looking for long cinematics. If I'm playing Metal Gear, then I'm ready for it, you know? Give me all the lengthy exposition you've got. I mean, I know Kojima is accused of being long-winded and stuff, but I mean, when I play a Metal Gear game, I know that I'm getting into that. And Kojima has such a distinctive style, and I feel he doesn't really take him. I mean, on the surface, it looks like he takes it seriously, but I don't think he really does. Part of what I love about Metal Gear is just how ridiculous the whole thing is. Like, some of it I take seriously, but like for the most part, I just soak in this over the top ridiculous story that's just really entertaining, I think, in spite of some of the long-winded dialogue.
Yeah, I kind of got that vibe towards the beginning of Metal Gear Solid 3 when Snake encounters that horse in the middle of nowhere.
I mean, it just depends on the kind of game for me. And for Metal Gear, I have the patience for it. The only thing that gets really kind of awkward to me in Metal Gear Solid 2 in particular is how frequently they resort to
the codec. Yeah.
Cutscenes, because they're just like, tap on the ear, you know, it's more secure to talk over the codec. Reed, we don't feel like animating any more of this scene.
Exactly. Huge issue in this game. It really is. And I guess I never really noticed it before because I was like, oh, what's going to happen next? Mm-hmm. But it's like, happens all the time in this.
And you know, all you can do is twiddle your thumbs and, you know, pan the characters around in their frame and zoom in and stuff.
The thing that gets me is it's like not any more secure. Like what I don't understand is that like when they're right next to each other talking in it, it's like they don't how do they send it through to the other person? They have to talk out loud probably.
You know, I've never really
they use their mind or what?
I've never really understood it, like, because in the, you know, in their little portrait there, their mouth is moving.
Yeah.
But I've got to believe, though, that they aren't, like, actually talking.
But then they'd have to be doing it with their minds.
I don't know. Maybe they whisper something. I don't know. I don't know. It's weird, though. It's really confusing.
Well, even if they're, you know, even if they're whispering, it seems like it'd be really difficult to keep your voice down if it's like, constantly getting thrown for a loop of what's happening, and he has no idea, and he's like getting angry, like get quiet, quietly angry.
It's awkward. I mean, that's really, I mean, with the exception of say 3, where it was obviously like a, you know, proper old timey radio system.
Right, right.
With the exception of that, the whole codec thing is one of the more mysterious things to me about the whole series. I feel like it's just not been conveyed very well what it is and how it works.
Yeah. They're like, oh, it stimulates the small bones of your ears.
Yeah.
And so, okay, so it makes sense. Like, that's it. Like, it makes sense that they could hear the other person silently, but when they're right next to each other, how is that more secure? It's not.
It's very confusing to me. It's just not very well presented, I guess. I mean, definitely one of the bigger flaws presentation-wise.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it. I there's a lot of things I don't mind. Whether it's like a design choice or a technical limitation, I didn't mind all the codec calls. I mean, I don't think we needed to animate a cutscene for Raiden announcing that he managed to avoid drowning, for example.
Right.
Successfully managed to avoid drowning. I was like, really? That's like your report back to Campbell here?
Yeah.
One of the things, talking about codecs, one of the things that threw me, and you can probably correct me if because I'm unfamiliar with the game, but you get an option at the start when you start a new game to go through both areas or select one or the other.
Right.
Like mm-hmm. the tanker and the plant. And one of the things that threw me as soon as I started playing as Raiden is you start getting all these basic tutorials about basically stuff that you've figured out for yourself as Snake.
Yeah.
Which makes it feel like the game, it's like hand-holding you and sort of suggesting that you should be doing one first, not the other. It confused me completely.
Well, you know, it's kind of weird to me because I noticed that too when I was starting the PS3 version, and I am pretty sure that in the original PS2 version, when you first started the game, you did not have that option when you had a fresh file. You had that option after beating the game, but if you had never played the game, you have to do Tanker first.
Yeah, it was added in Substance.
Yeah.
Like, okay. To be there right away.
Well, the HD version on the save file always says Substance because that's the version isn't it? So I suppose that's why that is.
Yeah, but I mean, I definitely noticed that too, where it's like, well, would you have to go through all this whole thing again? You know, like, do we have to really hear about the Soliton radar?
You start off as Raiden, it's like, watch out, there's a guard. Yeah. It's like, what are you going
to
do?
We just snuck past like 300 guys in a room, and now we have to like worry about one again.
The whole first part of the plant mission, drawing all those parallels to the first parts of the first Metal Gear Solid, including the mysterious ninja who tells you to use a mind detector.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's essentially the plot.
That is what the plot is, to a point, and then at the end they say, actually, nope, that's not really the plot.
Yeah, yeah.
Or actually, it's at the end where they say that, and then a few minutes later they're like, nope, that's not what it means.
In a lot of ways, I think going through it again like this, and I think I noticed it the first time I played it, but like almost all of the items are exactly the same as Metal Gear Solid.
It's definitely the least different of the Solid series.
The least happens in this one than any other one.
You think so?
Besides establishing the Patriots, like nothing else
That's pretty huge.
Well, it's pretty huge.
I think it's kind of interesting. When I went back to Metal Gear Solid 1, by which before I played Metal Gear Solid 2, I had played the PS1 version of Metal Gear Solid 1, but the version that only version I've actually owned myself is Twin Snakes. But, you know, like I say, I had played the PS1 version previously. And I think it's, you know, as much as, you know, people criticize Twin Snakes for, you know, having, you know, sort of some silly things that are different in the cutscenes and stuff.
Which I'm definitely one of. Like, I like the PS1 version a lot more.
Yeah, I really want to go back to the PS1 version. The last time that I had played Metal Gear Solid 2, I was actually, this wasn't really planned, but I kind of ended up doing like a backwards Metal Gear Solid marathon.
After finishing 4?
Well, this was actually after a replay of 4. Okay. I played 4 a second time, and then not long after that, I played 3. Going from 4 to 3 wasn't that tough.
Right.
Going from 3 to 2 was pretty rough. And then, you know, obviously 2 back to Twin Snakes was hardly anything at all. But taking that backwards progression through the series, it was interesting in terms of gameplay, but also in terms of story. I mean, you think Metal Gear Solid 1 has this, like, huge, crazy, big plot, and it's, like, tame compared
it's
to all the other.
It's super tame,
life.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, even 3, which when I first played it, I thought was less crazy than 2. And I kind of like how 3 is kind of can stand on its own.
Yeah,
I mean, 3
definitely.
Is my favorite. Hands down, my favorite.
Yeah, I'd agree with you.
And it used to not be my favorite in terms of story, but over the years, I've come to sort of think it's my favorite in story, too. But,
yeah.
I mean, that's beside the point. I felt like 1, it's just not as crazy as you think it is. Like, I mean, going back to it, in my opinion, I think 2 is one of the wilder ones in the series, personally.
It's crazy in what happens in it, but I think it's like the least vital.
A lot of it is retreading ground from 1.
Yeah.
Purposefully. The establishment of the Patriots, I mean, that is huge. I mean, to me, Ocelot's always kind of been the big bad guy. They kind of solidify him as that in 2. And, you know, the end of 2, like, when I first heard about 3, I was so disappointed because I was like, I was just dying to find out what Ocelot was going to do after 2.
Right.
Like, I was just like, I got to know, like that whole thing at the end, like, you know, the list of Patriots they have is dead. And almost none of that played out like I would have imagined
right.
in the end once we got to 4. But it's like, are you kidding me? I'm going to have to play through 3 and then wait until 4 before I even find out what happens after 2? Like, it just, you know, it had me on the edge of my seat for, you know, what was it, 2001 to 2008.
2008.
Was it? Yeah. I mean, I was on the edge of my seat for all those years waiting to find out what Ocelot goes off to do.
Kept you waiting, did I?
Yeah. Exactly. Seriously.
How essential it is to the plot. I mean, to me, it's pretty essential. But, I mean, I can kind of see what you mean in some ways, too. I looked up a script because there was one thing in the very beginning of the game that totally flew over my head. Even that playthrough I did after Metal Gear Solid 4,
mm-hmm.
this totally went over my head. I'm curious if any of you caught on this. At the very beginning, when Ocelot is stealing Rey, and Liquid takes over his mind for the first time, which is, you know, I think indisputably the most ridiculous thing in the entire series, right?
Yeah.
I think surely that's proof that Kojima doesn't take things seriously.
Yeah, that is, to me, the weirdest thing in the whole game and probably the whole series. But I think 4 kind of made it.
I think the weirdest thing is like going light on it.
Yeah,
it's far and away the worst thing.
Admittedly, 4 made a little more sense of it because they start going more into talking about. 4 puts even more emphasis on the whole nanomachines thing. Like,
yeah.
I it wasn't clear to me that nanomachines were that big of a deal in 1 until 4 kind of makes it seem like it is. So it's like the nanomachines, you know? I mean, that's just the solution for everything. It's the nanomachines that
it wouldn't really be an issue.
Ocelot Liquid's mind.
I don't think it would have been an issue if he didn't have Liquid's voice when it happens.
Yeah, well, I mean, and of course, you know, you've heard the whole weird thing about how 4 has Liquid's voice actor in Japan, and we've got Ocelot's voice actor here.
Really?
Yeah, the Ocelot's voice actor in Japan is dead.
Oh, wow.
So, but apparently, and there was controversy over the fact that we had Ocelot's voice instead of Liquid's voice, but apparently Kojima would have preferred for it to have been Ocelot's voice. There's some foreshadowing that totally flew over my head even after playing 4, and when Liquid, you know, first first takes over and goes, "Brother!" He goes, "Not so young anymore, eh, Snake? You're drowning in time. I know what it's like, brother. No wonder Naomi passed over you for the Fox Die program." And then some more stuff happens. And then Asla goes, "Out, get out of my mind, liquid!" And now here's the interesting thing.
I feel like you might have been practicing that, like getting ready for this.
Well, I actually haven't. I don't know if I do a good liquid imitation or not. But
do you ever just hang around the house, like,
brother? Anyway, so he goes, "The price of physical prodigy. Few more years and you'll be another dead clone of the old man. Our raw materials are vintage, brother. Big Boss was in his late 50s when they created his copies. But I live on through this arm." My point is, like he's like foreshadowing Snake's advanced aging.
Yeah.
Did that?
I didn't think of it like that.
It sounds to me like he's talking about, like, you know, the fact that you know, their bodies are kind of crap and they're not going to last. That he's able to live on because of this transplant.
Yeah, now that he, like, has a new body. Makes you wonder if just the arm is going to get old.
Even though Ocelot's pretty dang old himself. I mean, it definitely sounds like, I mean, that to me is clearly foreshadowing the fact that Snake ends up aging. I mean, whether Kojima knew exactly what that was supposed to mean at the time, I don't know. But it seemed clear to me that whenever he came up with the plot for 4, this was the starting point for that, I believe. And that totally flew over my head. But yeah, I mean, I'm just curious if Kojima really was thinking that far ahead. He keeps saying, "I don't want to just make Metal Gear games."
I mean, that's like saying George Lucas planned out Jar Jar Binks, probably. Like, so far in advance. Because, I mean, remember how George Lucas used to always say, you know, "Oh, I've got all these plans in my head." And I guarantee, like, none of that. None of the movies that came out had any of that stuff that he thought about.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was probably minor plot details. But, like, I'm sure that Kojima didn't know, like, what was happening in 4. But he probably had some things, like, I mean, it seems to me that he knew at this point already that Snake's body was not going to last.
"Two people here who can claim to be experts at bomb disposal.
Are you two with SEAL Team 10? I didn't see you at the mission briefing."
"Oh, we're with another squad. My name is Plissken, Lieutenant Junior Grade. Honored to meet you, sir."
"Mr. Plissken, do you have any experience with explosives disposal?"
"Don't worry about me. And he looks young, but he can do it. But we need more manpower.
What's your name?"
"Raiden."
"That's an odd name."
Like I mentioned before, the Raiden, I feel like he's just like such an awful character in this. But what I think I really appreciated this time through, did you ever notice, like, how often, like, everyone's constantly making him look like an idiot? The Snake especially is just kind of, even, like, towards the end of the game when he, like, has to, like, fake him out and everything, like, everyone's just, like, busting on him the whole time. It's almost like Kojima didn't really like him either.
He may have not.
You know, like, it actually is pretty interesting that of the solid games, the first one's the only one where you play as Snake, like, in his prime. Like, when he's, like, healthy and good.
Even though, you know, Campbell says old age hasn't slowed you down one bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know how much time passed between, like, Metal Gear 2 and Metal Gear Solid.
I mean, like, I assume they're in the 80s, and then it's supposed to be... I'm not sure what year it's supposed to take place in. Like, I'm not sure what year 1 takes place in, but 2 takes place in, like, it's like 7 and 9, I think. 07 and 09.
Okay, so Shadow Moses was in 2005. Metal Gear 1 takes place in 95.
Really? Much later than I thought.
Yeah. Takes place on Christmas Eve 1999 for Metal Gear 2.
Yeah, I remember all the Christmas stuff that they were referring to in the end. But I played that last year. I guess that's a lot of years in soldier years. I saw you comment on Skyfall on, you know, how Bond went from, you know, a new recruit to being starting to be a little too old for this in the course of three movies.
Yeah, yeah, when there's no... And it's like the Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace are like right after each other, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, literally. But...
That's another podcast.
Yeah.
So I was just going to say, it's like the Dark Knight trilogy as well.
Right, where everything is
playing silly buggers with Batman sort of coming and going in the space of several years.
Yeah, like the... I know this is like totally like off tangent, but like Batman Begins and The Dark Knight take place over like 6 months or something like that, I read.
Really? They're that close?
Like what I've read of people say.
Leave for a while? Like I don't know.
In the new one,
I haven't seen Dark Knight Rises in a while.
Well, that takes...
I haven't seen it yet, and I haven't seen the others in a while.
He leaves in the first film to train, but that's before he's even Batman. Then he comes back, then there's about 6 months of Batman, and then he basically disappears for 8 years. And then he so comes back,
Batman
and then
was only obscene for 6 months.
Yeah, he comes back for like 2 days in the new one. Disappears again for who even knows how long? Like a year, maybe? Like 9 months? And then he's back for like a day.
So there's not actually a lot of Batman in Gotham's history by the new films.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. I like how the game kind of tries to make you think that it might not actually be Snake.
Yeah,
that Plissken might not be Snake.
At the time, like I knew, like when I first played it, like I was familiar enough with the fact that David Hayter was Snake's voice actor,
right?
You know, and when I first saw him, I was like I wasn't like I'm not super good at recognizing faces anyway, but you know, I saw him, I was like, this guy looks like Snake, he's got the same voice actor as Snake.
right
like there was this seed of doubt in my mind as to whether it really was Snake.
Yeah, when I was playing it, I was like, is it Snake or maybe it's not, because they talk about how he's dead or if he's like the guy like controlling
yeah,
this whole
like,
thing.
Looking back, it was so stupid to like even doubt it.
Yeah, and like even the name, if you're like even familiar with like the Escape from New York or Escape from LA, like it gives it away right there.
Right, I didn't know that until much more recently.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, by much more recently, I mean, you know, within the past, you know, probably 5 or 6 years. I and I've seen the movie since then. I was a little disappointed, but I really want to see it again.
Do you see New York or L.A.?
I've not seen L.A., but I saw
LA's
New York.
It's kind of like a remake. A lot of people think that it's like pretty bad. I kind of liked it. I think that people made New York out to be more than it ended up being. Like, I saw it after, like, I found out about, like, the Metal Gear connections, too, just, like, in terms of the character.
Yeah. Well, I felt that, I mean, I don't know. I believe it was the first John Carpenter movie I saw, and I've liked most of the other movies of his that I have seen more than Escape from New York, and even movies of his from the same era or even earlier just felt more polished to me. There was just something awkward and dated about Escape from New York to me. Just something about, I can't really put my finger on it, just something about the cinematography or just, I don't know, something just felt off to me and I just couldn't really get into it, but I want to give it another shot sometime.
Well, if you get a chance to see LA, I'd like to hear what you think, because if you think New York is dated, like... LA is like such like a 90s movie, you know, like where he's like surfing on a like a tidal wave and all this other stuff.
That sounds like it might be amazing.
Yeah.
I regret to inform you that I have no intention of selling Metal Gear. As I said, I came to take it back. Yes, returned to the Patriots.
The Lale Lule Lo. How's that possible?
Ocelot. You! Have you sold us out? I was never in your employ, Kalukovich.
Are you still in league with Solidus?
No hard feelings, Colonel. Mother Russia can rot for all I care.
Since when, Ocelot? When did you turn?
I'm glad you noticed, comrade. I abandoned her during the Cold War. Metal Gear only has room for one! Yurukovich, you and your daughter will die here.
Damn you!
One thing I thought about is like how all of Dead Cell in this is like nowhere near as cool as the Foxhound from Solid.
Well, there's a lot fewer of them.
Yeah, but I mean, just like the characters themselves, Fat Man, I think, is like probably the worst character in any of the Solid games.
Really?
Like, is like the worst boss.
You mean in terms of character or in terms of...
of character design, specifically, and, I think.
But not the... I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't really have a problem with him so much.
It's like the combination of the rollerblades and the mimosa that he's drinking, I think.
I thought it was a pretty memorable boss fight, not just because it was, to me anyways, one of the hardest.
It was a lot harder than I remember it being.
And see, you like, never actually fight Fortune. There is a Fortune fight, but it's just a timed thing.
I just assumed you had to dodge what she throws at you, right? That you can actually touch her with weaponry.
Right.
But there might be a way, like, I mean, the Metal Gear Solid games just have such open-ended gameplay in so many areas, you know, and that's almost intimidating to me. Like all the different things that you can do in them. I mean, there's...
In the other ones or, or this one?
Well, I'm just talking about the series in general. I don't know to what extent, if extent does it quite, or if two does it to quite the extent that three does it, but...
Right.
You know, there might be things that you could do in that battle that I'm not aware of. I've just waited it out before.
What do you feel was like maybe the like the highlight of the game?
Just one highlight, huh?
Well, I mean, like, what do you think was like some of the best parts of it? I mean, your favorite parts that you thought was like. Like, for instance, I had such a hard time with the multiple Metal Gear Ray fight in this time around.
But I had more trouble than I thought I would.
Yeah, I remember, like, not being that hard. But, man, it took me, like, a couple hours.
Really?
Yeah.
It took me several tries. When I died a few times, I looked up how many there are, and apparently it varies by difficulty level. I was just on normal. Yeah, there's a bunch, but you don't have to fight them all on lower difficulty levels. And
so the number does go up on higher levels, doesn't it?
It does, the number that you have to fight. And I don't remember exactly what it was. It might have been 8 or 10, but whatever it was, like, compared to how many I was consistently able to kill up to that point, I was like, oh crap. Like, I thought, I just couldn't believe how many I had to do. Like, even though I had apparently done this, like, four times before. I'm not even sure if I've ever even played the game on hard. Like, I might have, but, like, I do not have a lot of confidence in my Metal Gear skills.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed all the boss fights. I thought they were pretty memorable and well thought out.
Yeah. Vamp.
The first vamp encounter was probably easiest for me because just simply because I wasn't really using the auto lock on feature at all, which is his big gimmick, I think.
When you're fighting him in the room with the water?
Yeah, I think I think I would have got him down my first time, but I accidentally slipped into the pool. when he was on his last hit.
I always aim in first person. Like, I, once they added first person aiming, I never aim in third person unless, like, I'm mowing down like a bunch of guys with a automatic weapon.
Yeah, Twin Snakes definitely jaded me when I went to play through Metal Gear Solid 1. That was one of the things I missed most.
Yeah, and the addition of the silenced tranquilizer dart is a huge gameplay changer.
Yeah, I like that. That's kind of my favorite way of playing the game. Kind of striking a balance between stealth and action, using weapons that don't necessarily kill the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I just start to get really frustrated and I'm caught in the warehouse for the 255th time and then I just start going off with the grenade launcher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like all about like not killing anybody until you like get the sword. Then I'm all about like running up to everybody and slicing them up.
Definitely understandable. It's like if you're given like this really cool weapon, it's really hard not to use it, even if you're encouraged not to.
My favorite part of the games, I mean, my favorite part of the original, really, but my favorite stuff in this was really just the comedy sneaking around stuff. I think, like, particularly in the first section when you're playing a snake, like, when you first get sort of tasked with sneaking through those massive presentations on the screen with the speeches, and you just see all the guards, like sight cones, and you're just like, oh, okay. And they start doing exercises. But if they all catch you, it makes me laugh every time.
Like the noise it makes, like all of their, like the chain reaction
all
of their.
That definitely intimidated me my first time through. And when they started doing the, like, let's say the enemy approaches you, you gotta be alert at all times. To your left. And you hear the alert and you hear the alert noise, and I'm like, oh my god, I've been seen.
Yeah.
Kojima definitely has a sense of humor that is his own.
But I still feel like the tanker is probably... It just, like, I love the setting of it so much more than the Big Shell, I think. And it's like, it's interesting that the whole, like, visual style changes as soon as you get to the Big Shell. Like, even, like, the game over screens and everything, like, they... Do everything to make you think that you're going to be snaked through the whole game. And it's like, it's crazy that they got away with what they did.
I mean, the Big Shell, I kind of like the structure of it. Like, it's easy to get around and be like, okay, they say, okay, you got to go to strut F or whatever, you know? It's easy to find, you know? There's not a lot of confusion about where you need to go or how to get to a certain place. Like, it's like, oh crap, I can't remember how to get there, you know, which might be the case in, you know, say Metal Gear Solid 1 maybe, but in 2, like, the structure is very easy to understand, which gameplay wise I think is not such a bad thing.
This is Snake. Do you read me, Otacon?
Loud and clear, Snake.
Kept you waiting, huh? I'm at the sneak point.
Everything going okay?
Stealth camo's busted. Landing impact.
We must have overused it. Sorry, but you're gonna have to deal with it. You're not in the military anymore.
Right. I didn't plan on relying on this gadget anyway.
The private sector's not so bad, is it? Privacy guaranteed?
I'm happy as long as no one gives me any more unwanted gifts.
You mean that thing with Naomi?
And I can't say I miss the chattering nanny.
Mei Ling's not so bad. That reminds me, I have to get in touch with her again about that new Natick flashware.
Diverting toys from the SSCEN again? Look, give her a message from me. Someone will find out, sooner or later. She's better off assuming it sooner and quit while she's safe.
Too true. Okay, Snake, let's get to work.
Otacon, like, constantly gets run through the ringer. I feel like he loses more in these games than anybody else does.
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. Like, the whole scene where Emma dies, that just tore me up the first time I played.
Yeah.
Like, I just couldn't stand it. Like, I've seen, like, people, like, kind of joke about that scene and stuff nowadays. And, like, especially I saw some people on the backloggery playing the game for the first time when the collection came out last year. And, you know, people were, you know, kind of joking about that and, you know, talking about that, you know, that slow motion walk as they walk away.
That's like my favorite part of the whole game is when,
like, right
do their secret handshake.
That is amazing. I love that part. And like they had the music swells up and like everything is riding on Otacon's shoulders and like he's got to pull it together, but he's such a wreck. Like I just couldn't stand it. I'm pretty sure that was the first time I was all teared up. Emma died and the fact that they had to carry on and, you know, Otacon didn't have any time to process it all. And, you know, Snake is, you know, pull it together, man. And super cool secret handshake. Like it just tore me up. I couldn't handle it.
I was pretty speechless too.
Like I was able to totally buy into it, I think. And, you know, you feel bad for him because he talks about like Sniper Wolf and all this other stuff, how he keeps on losing everyone that's close to him. Like, I'm like surprised that he makes it throughout the whole series.
You're suggesting that it gets worse in 4, do you?
Arguably. I mean,
oh boy.
People around, it's the people he's close to.
Yeah, exactly. Like nobody he's close to is safe in these games.
It's pretty sad what happens in 4 too.
Like the whole sequence leading up to it, because you think the M is going to be fine. Even like in the moment, like when you go through this whole long sequence of watching her with a sniper rifle as she's going, and you think that like she's going to make it there and be fine.
She wasn't my first few times through.
Yeah,
that mine way off in the distance.
Oh man, yeah, that got me too.
I did much better on that part, that whole sniper part, than I think I've ever done on it.
I had fun. I had fun with it, but it definitely tried my patience after a while. I think I even I still had the thermal goggles on. I accidentally shot her in the head.
I used the thermal goggles.
I just felt terrible. Probably more terrible than during that cutscene, really.
But you don't even get like any kind of revenge on Vamp for it.
That's the last time you see Vamp in the game. So obviously you know that he's not dead, he's alive. And you were earlier talking about how you thought you didn't like Dead Cell as much as the villain troop in any of the other games, which I think I can probably agree with. Do you think Vamp out of that cast was worth bringing back for 4? I mean, obviously they had to, because 1, he was still alive, and 2, Otacon's got, you know, a major vendetta against him, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Like, that, like, I was very happy that they brought him back. I felt for, like, the entire, in terms of Dead Cell, like, Fortune was totally, like, underused, and, like, the kind of payoff of, like, what was going on with her.
Yeah.
Was not really all that cool. It didn't end up being like they're just like messing with her, I guess. What's the deal? Like, so she still uses like her psychic powers anyways, like, cause she kind of like uses all of her energy to like push away raise missiles. If they have this thing that like makes bullets go flying away, like why doesn't everybody like wear them from that point on? Like every game, why don't they just give them to everybody?
I guess. That is weird.
I just use like the rare technology defense. Like it's made from an extremely rare material that you have to gather up a whole bunch of.
Yeah.
And it may have like a 50% chance of crafting successfully or something. That's just how I think.
When I was playing it the first time, like I knew that it was really Snake, but I didn't want to believe that it was just going to be like Snake as a side character, which in retrospect is like really great that they did. I feel like you kind of get a better feeling for his character.
Going into 4, like it was kind of special because to play Snake again, because like 2 to me had built him up to be such a legend. He wasn't really in 1. I mean, in 1, he's just your player character. And 2, he's a legend. I mean, it feels like Snake knows everything. Like Raiden could ask him any question under the sun and Snake would know the answer. That is how awesome Snake is.
Because they're part of philanthropy now. They have all this.
Guys, but still fringe on them.
Yeah, they have like all this access to stuff that they didn't before.
Just thinking back on sort of when the game came out, was that? I mean, I imagine it was sort of probably one of the most prominent fake outs in a sort of game story. that had been done. Assassin's Creed, of course, like Assassin's Creed 3 kind of does a kind of inverse of what Metal Gear Solid 2 does.
I don't want to hear anything because I haven't played it yet, but...
Yeah, it kind of plays on the same thing, but I suppose it's also, it feels like it's something that games have done more since Metal Gear Solid 2, but part of the reason why people fell for it is because there's no reason for you not to suspect that just like, oh, we're just going off in some other story, you know, who knows if Snake's going to be around. It seems ridiculous looking back on 2 after like the series has carried on that obviously, you know, killing off Snake was preposterous, but at the time when it came out, you know, it's kind of, it's almost so shocking, but with Kojima's reputation, it's sort of like,
we're no more sure now if Snake is alive to continue. I cannot fathom another game with that Solid Snake happening after 4. Like, how would they do it?
He's in bad shape. By the like, to say the least, by the end of 4, he's in pretty bad shape.
You know, some one of his limbs could find a younger body to live on.
That'd actually be pretty funny if they pulled that off. Actually, it would not be funny at all. Like, everyone would be like, what are you doing?
You know, honestly, I would be okay with them just coming up with, like, more big boss stories from here on out. I think a game, like, about the boss in World War II, I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, I think
if they're running out of time periods to put Big Boss and Solid Snake and Raiden into, I think that's where they need to go.
And then they can introduce a whole bunch of characters in that, and then they can go even earlier. They can find out who the boss's boss was.
We'll eventually have Civil War Metal Gear. That'd be amazing.
We'll keep going back. He'll eventually connect with Assassin's Creed.
I wasn't around to play any of these games on launch. I feel like I missed out on the party, so to speak.
Philanthropy means love of man in the sense of caring for, nourishing, improving, enhancing the quality of life for human beings.
It's like...
It makes sense, I guess.
It's like the most generic possible name they could have chosen for their organization. I'm glad they don't refer to it in 4 that way.
It makes you wonder, like, who else is in the entire unit, because he says we're just a part of philanthropy now.
I would have never thought for, you know, the whole thing about Olga's child. Like, going into 4, like, I wouldn't have really even thought of that as a major thing to resolve. Like, I mean, it should have been, but, like, it didn't until it happened, and I was like, because, I don't know, it seems to me that Olga doesn't make the impression that a lot of other characters in 2 make. But then...
She doesn't really do anything.
But she does. Like, she's in charge of the unit, and she's the ninja. Like, on this most recent replay, I think I liked Olga more as a character than I had in the past. Like, and like, all the underwater stuff, like, when you're swimming through the
way the water
shell
goes down the camera.
Yeah, like, all that looked really good. I actually kind of like the swimming part in that, though. That's probably...
Yeah, well, the swimming part, like, the controls were totally fine.
Yeah, like, you know, like, it seems to me the tangent, but, you know, a lot of people, you know, just badmouth, like, as soon as they see a swimming part, they're like, oh, yeah, great idea, you know, villain name of developer, like... You know, like, I remember when Resident Evil Revelations came out, they were like, oh, yeah, great idea, Capcom, put swimming in this. Yeah. And swimming in Revelations was one of the better parts about it. It was really well done.
I've never understood the hate for water levels. Oh, I move slower.
It's like, Ocarina of Time. It's Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, it all goes back.
Why everyone hates water.
Yeah, that's a good counter-argument, actually. Yeah.
What would you prefer? No swimming or the character to instantly die when they touch the water? I mean, take your pick here. I mean, it just makes sense that a character can swim. And I thought in Metal Gear Solid 2, the swimming segments were relatively interesting. And then, you know, the whole thing, how you have to get Emma out without, you know, she's got less oxygen than you do, you know, that, you know, sort of mixes it up. It was interesting.
Well, I guess they kind of, like, in that part, they combine the two things that people hate the most, swimming parts and escort missions.
Escort mission. escort mission, I feel, is another knee-jerk reaction of, oh my gosh, escort mission immediately equals bad. Yeah. You know, that I disagree with that as well, but that's
I can think of two. I think San Andreas and Assassin's Creed 2 are probably two of the games where swimming was actually something that was needed and quite funny. In the previous games, no one could swim.
I have to wonder if that was done on purpose, an underwater escort mission.
Even though some of the gameplay in the Metal Gear Solid games, like the controls in any of the games, have never like totally clicked with me, probably three more than any other, but I sort of struggle with the gameplay in them. But at the same time, I respect Kojima so much as a gameplay visionary, because you just feel to be in his games, you feel the presence of the director more than any other games that I can think of. And I feel like the entire game, he is laughing at me. Like, look at what I am. Look at what I am making you do. You know, like, if you were taking the story totally seriously, you'd say, oh, that's out of place. But I mean, it's a Kojima game, so let's just sit back and laugh at it. And like, because he's probably laughing at you for playing it in the first place.
Or he's definitely laughing when he was writing it.
Oh, yeah. To use the terminology of the modern internet, I mean, he's trolling us like the entire series, basically.
The first Metal Gear Solid was played pretty straight, I think.
I mean, I've replayed them 2 to 5 times each. Like,
jeez.
And I don't even, but if, I don't feel like I know them all that well. I'm like too scared to play them on higher difficulties and like do any of the super challenging things in them.
Yeah.
But I just assume, without really knowing like what's involved with like completing the game, like I just assume it's like really ridiculous. What are the chances Kojima is going to be nice on trophies? It'd be like, I mean, it'd be things that I wouldn't even know were possible. Like, I mean, to get through the whole game without killing anyone and tranquilizing bosses, I mean, that just, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but that just sounds really hard to me.
I did tranquilize, went out of my way to tranquilize Batman. I don't know why, since I like disliked him so much, I tried to spare his life.
I took the tranquilizer approach to Fat Man as well. I thought it was actually kind of easier because I could use either the tranquilizer gun or my punches when he stops to plant the bombs to add up.
I don't think I've intentionally attempted to tranquilize a boss. You know what? My approach to the Fat Man fight was I laid down Claymore mines. And then when he ran over them, he sort of does this animation where he like starts to get up and then he's just like holding himself up on his arms and he's sort of very still for a moment. Right. And then you can get an easy shot on his head.
Explosives in general were one of the more fun parts I had, interesting experiences I had with the game. The whole tanker part where you have to, towards the end of the... the tanker. The boat, not the big shell. Mm-hmm. And you have to shoot out the control panels for the, I guess it varies on difficulty, but I was playing on normal, so it winds up that there's not one, not two, but I finally figure out, oh, there's three I gotta deactivate before I can cross over safely.
I had a hard time finding them too.
The crossover into Shell 2 where you gotta find about, like, what, 10 or so? And, okay, so there's more than 6 then. Yeah. Oh, I see. I missed the last one. It was over there. What? No, I got them all. Oh, then it turns out that the 10th one was on top of that little man hack off in the distance.
Yeah. And then there's actually one over the door. Like, I kept thinking, okay, I'm pretty sure there's not one on a seagull, but...
Yeah, I was starting to check the seagulls before long.
are you?
Five today. Or rather, six.
Get down!
Strange smell.
What would you say? You think that it is still good?
The previous time that I replayed it, like I said, it was kind of an impromptu backwards marathon, which in retrospect was probably not the best idea. It wasn't really an idea to begin with. It kind of just started happening. And I was like, after I played three, I was like, I kind of want to play two. And I'm like, well, I may as well play one now. So going to from 3 to 2, like, it really felt dated and weird. I didn't enjoy playing it as much as I had hoped I would. But this time, just sort of playing 2 on its own by itself. The most recent one I've played was Peace Walker, and that was, I think, a year ago. Just this isolated experience with 2, gameplay wise, I did enjoy it. I thought it was pretty fun. I didn't feel overly bogged down by the story. And, in fact, parts that I remember getting bogged down on, in the earlier playthroughs, like, didn't even happen because I didn't call people on the codec all the time. Like, I remember this whole subplot about, Rose and Jack's relationship, and she eventually goes on to this whole thing about, like, oh, I broke into your room one day and all there was a bed, and, I haven't even seen that in forever because, I just don't use the codec all that much. It's like all these, details that kind of bogged me down before that were maybe a little annoying, it doesn't take that long to beat. It's still pretty fun. It's, a crazy, weird part of the Metal Gear saga. I feel like all these years, perhaps influenced by, the general sentiment that people have against them, I guess it's my least favorite. And I guess that probably is still true, but it's still good. I still enjoy it, and I don't dislike it. It ranks lower than 3 and 4 and 1 and Peace Walker, but it's still good. I enjoy it. I would not ride it off.
It's the bronze medal winner, but it's still a winner.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I definitely go back to it too. If I was even getting into the VR missions, if I just need a quick fix. If I don't feel like going through the whole thing again, just doing all these various challenges, I like games that do that, just put you in different scenarios just to kind of test you out, not just for practice and things, but just to kind of put you in situations the main game may not be able to offer.
I really doubt I'm gonna get around to actually finishing the game, but I don't think it's a bad game. I'm pretty interested in trying out 3. I think I'll definitely do that at some point.
Three, and the other gameplay is a whole new ballgame.
It's just a lot more interesting.
That's certainly what I've heard. I definitely agree. The other thing that it really made me think of was playing bits of this was I really wanted to go back and play GoldenEye at some point. Especially as soon as you get into as soon as I got into playing as Raiden, it just took me straight back to the sort of end of GoldenEye, and just being on the plant just reminded me of being on the satellite dish at the end of GoldenEye.
Yeah. At first I thought you were referring to, you know, wanting to play like another stealth game.
That too. I certainly remember sort of, because when the first Metal Gear Solid came out, I was still a pretty die-hard Nintendo player. I remember thinking, like, you know, I've got my spy games covered. I've got GoldenEye, you know. Metal Gear Solid.
And I remember at the time, a friend of mine was debating. I didn't have a PlayStation yet. And he was debating, Tenchu came out at the same time. And he was debating, you know, which of these two stealth games do I want? And when he, you know, heard the reviews, you know, that Metal Gear Solid was really short, he went for Tenchu instead. He still later got Metal Gear Solid anyway, but Tenchu was his first pick. So stealth games were like the cool thing back then. Like, they're a thing now, like, or stealth is just integrated into other games.
As excited as I was for Metal Gear Solid 2 and it disappointed, I think going back to it after this, it still is definitely like my least favorite of the series, but I think that like I've gotten over the feelings that I had for it before. And I would just, it's like my least favorite, but like probably barely my least favorite. Like I would rank it barely below Peace Walker.
Actually, I thought Peace Walker was pretty fun.
No, it was. It was like, it was like you said, they're all very, very good.
I'm glad I'm giving the series another go, as it were.
I'm sorry that you ended up buying the game and not liking it.
Oh, that's fine. I had enough fun.
And hey,
but at least you got three with it. And you can give that a shot too.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people that didn't like two, I think, liked three a lot.
And I've seen three get its share of hate as well. But I feel like as time has gone on, I mean, maybe I'm just projecting myself here, but three is a pretty darn common pick for best in the series.
Yeah. If you play all the way through three, the last 2 hours of the game are constant high note after high note. Once you reach that point, you're not stopping till you finish it. Well, thank you guys for taking part, and I hope that this continues on for a while. And it's nice. Like, I think the whole idea around this is just, it's a lot of fun to play things that other people are playing at the same time.
And two, you know, just the fact that, you know, there's something there that says you should play this month.
Exactly.
It's a good excuse to get to something you've been meaning to do, whether it's a replay or for the first time.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, it's just like, all right, you know what? The poll says I'm playing this game, so darn it, this is the time.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. I hope to see you guys on the next one. Thanks for checking out the first episode. We'll be back next month with Ease Origin, which is available on Steam. If you'd like to join in on the fun, check out my Backloggery page at www.backloggery.com. That's BACKLOGGERY.com/CoryC, CoryC. Till next time.